Welcome to the East Surrey Bump to Birth podcast, hosted by myself, Emma, and my wonderful friend, Becca. This podcast is dedicated to parents-to-be and new families in the East Surrey area, providing a wealth of knowledge and support through the exciting journey of pregnancy and birth.
Join us as we discuss everything from prenatal care and childbirth education to navigating the challenges of life with a new baby. We'll be joined by guest expert speakers, including midwives, doulas, breastfeeding experts, nutritionists, and more, who will share their insights and expertise to help you make informed decisions and feel confident in your choices.
Whether you're a first-time parent or a seasoned pro, the East Surrey Bump to Birth podcast has something for everyone. With a focus on empowering parents, we will help you feel calm, confident, and supported through your pregnancy and birth journey. So tune in and get ready to be inspired.
So hi Emma.
Hi Becca, how are you?
Very well. Have you had a good week?
Yes.
Okay.
School is back, life is normal, everything is okay.
Yeah.
Now we are joined by two guests today actually. Mm. We have Laura and Ellery from the MVP. So I'm going to hand over to them to actually tell you what that means and who they are. Yeah. Take it away, girls.
Hi, thank you very much for having us.
Welcome.
Hi guys.
Hi, very exciting to have you on today. So yes, please do introduce yourselves and tell us who you are.
Sure. Do you want to go first, Ellery? You go first. Go
So I am Ellery, and as the girls have said, I am part of Maternity Voices Partnership. So I'm the co-chair for the Surrey side of the patch, because obviously Sash covers such a large area. And then Laura.
Yes, that's me. So I am Laura, and I am the co-chair for the Sussex side of the patch. So as Ellery said there, Surrey and Sussex side, we're quite a unique Maternity Voices partnership that we're across two geographical areas, but obviously as one trust, which is known as SASH. And commonly people call us the MVP, but we're very keen to make sure that people understand what that means, as in Maternity Voices Partnership. So hopefully we can convey a bit more about that today and what we do. But yeah, we've both been in post this year. Ellery, you can talk about when you joined.
Yeah, so first of all, thank you for having us. We're so excited to be able to like let more people know about what Maternity Voices is, because that's part of our sort of goals as well, is to make sure everyone knows who we are, what we do, how people can contact us. So I began the role in beginning of this year really. I have three children. And I live in Redhill, so I had all my babies at East Surrey. And when I heard about Maternity Voices and about that there's this group of people that you can feed back to, and those changes actually then get passed on and things happen and you can make positive changes, I was like, right, I want to be involved in that. So then I joined in January, and then later on, Laura, you'll tell us when you came on board.
Yeah, so I joined officially as co-chair in May, and I've been involved with the Maternity Voices for about three and a half years as a volunteer. That's how it kind of started. We sometimes refer to volunteers as kind of a service user. I've had babies, and I joined after having my second child. I've got two children. Two children of very similar ages to Ellery's first two children, and so we knew each other as well outside of the Maternity Voices partnership a little bit. But my role as a volunteer when I initially had come on board was to kind of share feedback about my own experience within antenatal healthcare, within postnatal support, within the community. I work for a community organisation that we do a lot of work within the postnatal period for women mums, and so that's how I'd kind of been involved with the Maternity Voices. And then I moved away from Surrey and I moved to Sussex during the pandemic. And so when I saw as Ellery, I put her forward for the role of Surrey last year. I thought she'd be fantastic as it. I don't know all of her passions.
She coached me in the beginning of the role. Sorry to interrupt. Laura coached me in the beginning of the role. And then I was like, Now this has come up for Sussex side. Now you've got to get on board.
So I applied in April time, and we have quite unique roles, and we can talk a bit about our roles as co-chairs. But whilst we have lots of things that we do together, as in we co-chair, we do things organised together, because we are Surrey and Sussex side, there are quite unique differences between what work goes on in Sussex and what goes in Surrey, but also around just the pure nature of the geographic of that area, the people that live in those areas, the women that live in those areas and their families, the challenges that there are. The healthcare provision is different in both sides, although it's one trust. You know, in the Sussex side, it's very different. We have Crawley as our big hub, followed by Horsham, and then we have lots of rural areas. And obviously on Ellery's side in Surrey, it's a little bit different to that, more suburban areas that are locked in together, Red Hill, Reigate, Horley, Merstham and surrounding. So it's quite different. So in that sense, we're able to look after different projects and look after things, but also come together to work as a united trust as well. So yeah.
Brilliant. That's a really good introduction. Yeah. So thank you. That's brilliant. That's a great way to start. So thank you for sharing all that.
I think a really good place to start is kind of explaining a little bit more about, like you said, what the Maternity Voices Partnership does, but also who are you as a team? Are you, you obviously feed back to the NHS and the great team at SASH, but are you part of the NHS, independent? How does it all work?
Okay, so we are definitely independent, and that's what we want people to understand. Absolutely. And also to understand in terms of this podcast as well. So we aren't, we work very closely alongside SASH and the hospital, but we are not part of them. So we're independent, which has many benefits, and we can go on to talk about that. But in terms of who we are, so Maternity Voices Partnership is a team. So it isn't just us and our volunteers. It's everyone together, working together. So it includes us as parents and local people who have had their children at East Surrey. It's the midwives, it's the doctors, health visitors, the commissioners, it's everyone together, working together, collabing on different projects so we can, in essence, improve everything for the service users. So that's who we are. What was the other question? I can't remember. About what, so we're independent. Laura, do you want to talk about in our independence?
Yeah, absolutely. So Ellery's exactly right. We are completely independent. So the Maternity Voices Partnership, we are a part of a national Maternity Voices Partnership. So you might have heard, perhaps people have heard of the NMVP, which is the National Maternity Voices Partnership. And they are a group of different, if you think about regions is the easiest way to think about it, all different regions that make up the United Kingdom. Most of those regions have a Maternity Voices Partnership. And so then that national programme is a kind of international organisation, charity, volunteer based, where they have national objectives, guidance, outlines, etc. So they're very much at a national level. They are working with government organisations, the National Health Trust, lots of different people. So very much from that very top layer, they're working with other organisations to collaborate with them to give guidance. So it might be part of research reports, reporting, all sorts of things. It's very much at the heart of what the National Maternity Voices Partnership do. So for us, independence is really key. It's one of our key principles as a national organisation, but as a localised one. And as Ellery said there, that independence, sort of in breaking it down even further, people do often associate us with the hospital because we're on lives with the team at SASH Maternity. We are seen in the hospital, we visit the hospital, we might even sort of like work on projects that are part of it. So we might sort of be the face of something, it seems, and that we work very closely, but we are completely independent. What that means is that when we do a project, we are coming to it to represent the voices of women and birthing people and their families. And that independence is really important because it means that we need to represent what women are saying about a service. So if we're, let's say we're looking at a new leaflet or how we word a leaflet, then we are there to represent the voices of our community. And for us in Surrey and Sussex, those communities can have very different voices as well. So we really work hard to try to represent all of the voices of our community, but specifically as well, those what we call the lesser known voices, the lesser heard voices. That's groups of people that we don't perhaps naturally always hear from. It's groups of people that, you know, examples, certain ethnic groups, certain geographical areas. We are working closely, for example, with migrant workers and asylum seekers, women in refuge, lots of different groups of people that we hope that by us spending time with them and hearing their experiences and their voice, that we can then act as ambassadors of that when we go back to the trust on any number of things that we might do. So that's where that independence is so important, and that we really want to get that across to anyone that kind of sees the MVP, Maternity Voices, hears us, anything at all, that we are so independent, which means when you talk to us, it's often anonymized. You don't have to give your name if you don't wish to. If you want to share feedback, you can, and we can talk a bit more about how people do that. But yeah, that independence is so critical to the work that we do.
Yeah, and I think I think what's great about the independence is that it means that we can understand, hear women and birthing people's feedback and their voices, and then make sure that the projects are aligning with that. So of course we work with the NHS projects and what they have to improve and their transformation stuff their side, but it doesn't just come in from that way. We work sort of in reverse as well, so we can understand our themes from hearing people and then go to the hospital and say, actually, this is what we need to work on.
Yeah,
there might be these other themes, and we'll of course work with you to get feedback on those areas, but we can bring in new themes when we hear feedback about things.
That kind of answers the question I was going to ask, actually. So I'm just going to ask, how do you actually feed back, as in once you have all that from people, how do you actually feed that back to the hospitals, and how, you know, how do you relay it to them, basically? So you kind of answered my question there. You kind of do you hold meetings with them, or do you, how does it work in terms of feeding back to them?
Yeah, so I think if we just backtrack slightly and talk about how we get the feedback, because I think that's quite important in understanding then what we pass on and how we pass it on. There's lots of different ways that people can feed back to us. So it doesn't always have to be at a baby group where we're at. Like if someone wants to give us a one-on-one phone call, they can send us a message. They can fill out our surveys. We have lots of surveys online. So we have our main survey, which covers your whole journey from first time you see a midwife to the last time you see a midwife postnatally. And then we have other smaller surveys that have come about from feedback and from the hospital wanting to find out more about what people think about new pathways and stuff. So we have a specific gestational diabetes survey, and we have an early pregnancy unit survey and an infant feeding survey. And we're always working on new surveys. We love to get a survey out. It's a really quick way to get feedback.
Yeah.
Laura, do you want to talk about some of the other ways we get feedback, like in the community? And
yeah, absolutely. One of the tools is surveys, as Ellery said there, and people might often be familiar with things like the family and friends survey that in hospital, a woman or birthing person or their family. So that's very much a hospital survey. That's nothing to do with us, but that's in the hospital. So our surveys are from, you can fill in at any point at all in your antenatal or postnatal journey. One of the biggest ways that we get feedback aside from surveys is what we call community engagement. So this is going out there to hear at ground level what women, birthing people and their families are saying about stuff. And that stuff can be anything to do with antenatal experience, even sometimes the prenatal experience, birth, labour, postnatal, perinatal, mental health. It covers a whole swathe of things. So we do things like we do go to groups. So we might go to mother and baby groups. We might go to toddler groups. We might go to very specific groups, like we attend Embrace, which is one of the neonatal groups. And we go to hear feedback from people who've gone through the neonatal experience, sometimes multiple times as well. So we might attend kind of like as a support person at those events. And we're often asked to go to other events that might be networking style events. So like a birth workers event, we recently had one in Sussex, which was with anybody like much like yourselves who could come along as a birth worker and share ideas and feedback, and also get a bit of an update on things that are happening within the trust. So we're asked to represent as well for the maternity voices. And when we're there, we're representing women sometimes, but we're always gathering feedback, you know, even if it's from a birth worker, say, that has, we know that you as a, let's say, as a doula, as a labour birth doula or a postnatal doula, you're very much seeing clients and parents all the time and speaking to them. So actually a half an hour conversation with a birth worker can tell us about 3, 4, 5, 6 different cases, which might have for them, these are the themes I've heard in the last 6 weeks, or these are the things that women are saying to me. These are the struggles they're having. These are the things that are great. So again, that's another way that we can use feedback, and then we document that. So we have a huge big sheet of all the different themes and discussions and who we met with within the community as well. So those are the first two. And then Ellery, do you want to talk about sort of walking the patch and the other side?
Yeah. So then within the hospital, so actually tomorrow, myself and Laura are going to the hospital and doing something that what we call is walk the patch. So when I first started in this role, I thought, I don't know what walk the patch is. I keep hearing this word. So if you hear someone saying walk the patch, that's what it is. We go to the hospital and we can go to all areas. We primarily look at Burstow Ward because that's where women are there for a significant amount of time and they've been through most of their journey so far. And we simply walk around and chat to the families there and see how they're doing, how things have been, any amazing things. We love to hear amazing things and amazing feedback too. And people always love to give us names of midwives that have been particularly wonderful in their births. And that's so lovely to hear. And it's also really lovely for us to pass that on to these really hardworking midwives. And we're just so grateful for anyone telling us anything about their experiences and how they found things, any improvements. We tend to get a lot of people when we walk the patch talking to us about the birth environment, about the Burstow ward environment, so the postnatal ward environment, and that's just simply due to the nature of the fact they're in that right now, and so that's forefront of their mind and they're able to tell us that. But we have plans to, well, previously I've walked around Rusper ward and spoken to some women who may have been in just briefly for a few hours, or some that are there ready to be induced. So you sort of get a whole picture of people going through this journey when you're in the hospital, because there's lots of different touch points that we can talk to people. And then we're also due to work out a way that we can speak to neonatal families. Obviously, we understand this is like a really sensitive area, and we want to make sure we do it right, which is why we've not just gone straight off, right, we're going to go into this ward, talk to you, tell us your feedback. We want to make sure we approach it really sensitively, but it's definitely a very important area for us to gather feedback. So it's on our plans.
Yeah, and there's lots of other sort of examples of things. We are working out ways in which to do them, but we know that some of our colleagues and other maternity voices, they do things called Whose Shoes event, where it brings together a whole group of different people from women and birthing people to consultants, to midwives, to nurses, brings together them for a particular topic. So it could be, I know that one of our colleagues in sort of in the East Grinstead area in Sussex, they did a Whose Shoes event all around birth partners staying overnight. It was something that they really wanted to look at as a possible change in structure at the hospital, and so they brought together a whole group of people to have that discussion out loud and hear what people are saying, etc. So there are lots of different ways in which we can do that. We have listening events, so we have three or four listening events a year where we might go to a specific venue, invite anyone to come along, member of the public, and we might have a couple of themes to sort of talk to them about, and we just want to hear as much of their feedback as possible. And the more feedback we hear, the more that we can share that, and we can talk about that, sort of how we share that as well. But I guess the one thing we really want to get across to people is we feel incredibly privileged to hear people's feedback, whatever that feedback is, good, bad, constructive, not constructive sometimes, but we feel very privileged to hear it, and we realise we're in a very privileged position to be able to then share it and pass it on. And it's often very sensitive, can even be sometimes traumatic as well. So we know that it's really difficult sometimes for someone to share just a tiny bit of their story. And so what we want to get across is that how important it is that when women do that, that we can support and invoke change within the environment. So Ellery mentioned their like postnatal ward experience. It's been something for a very long time that comes up, not just in our time, but for the many years before that. We've been through experiences as well within the trust and sort of outside of them. And I'm sure you have as well. And postnatal experience is one of the biggest areas, themes, right, that comes out of birth and labour experience. And by hearing feedback, we have been able to share that feedback with the head of midwifery at the trust more recently, who, what might seem like simple things like chairs, you know, physical things, the way that a bed is sat, cupboard space, the colour of the walls, how fresh the wall looks and feels, things like that are so fundamental. And the only way that we can do those is because we've heard that feedback over and over and over again, that we can share it to a point where actually becomes, it's an asset thing, it's an estate challenge for a hospital perhaps, but we know how keen that Surrey and Sash, you know, that they are to really want to make those changes within some of those confinements, but to make them. So that's our one kind of nugget. If we come away with anything today, is that please don't think that just one piece of feedback you have is not going to change something, because if everybody gives that one little piece, it really fits that bigger picture together, and that's how we can drive change.
Absolutely. I was going to say, actually, obviously we've been service users of Sash ourselves, but also I had a chance earlier this year to speak with Ellery as a service user and give feedback. And as that person giving that feedback, I saw direct, very real change. I had the opportunity to personally feedback to some of the midwifery team. Mm-hmm. Like, you may be independent, you're not part of the NHS, but you very much have a powerful voice within that setting, and you absolutely are making incredible changes on behalf of all the women you hear from. It is amazing to see. We join in quarterly calls, which I'm sure you'll kind of talk about a bit later, but I see and I hear the midwives hearing that feedback and how important it is for them. They don't want to assume what the women and the birthing people in their care want, need, think, but actually getting to hear it back must be so helpful for them. It's just amazing guidance for them, really, to help their scope of work. It is really powerful.
And the fact that you're seeing these changes being made is fantastic. The fact that you're giving this feedback and you're seeing the changes being done just shows how effective it is, and that's wonderful to see as well. You said about postnatal and the birthday ward, which is what a lot of stuff comes up, and I've heard that they've made decorative changes and they've kind of spruced it up a bit and made it look, and that's all thanks to your feedback that you've passed on to them, and that will make such a difference to women now going into that ward, you know, going forward. It shows how effective it really is, so it's fantastic to see what's been happening so far.
The little changes, I can definitely speak on behalf of my husband and say the sounds of the new chairs in Birstow Ward.
the chairs, it's such a simple thing, but it is such a massive thing. And so I can just confirm now that every single bed in every bay has a soft, comfortable, not soft, but, you know, like a proper chair where the partner can rest, but also where the mother, if she doesn't want to breastfeed in the bed, can feed and feed their baby sat in a chair, which sometimes you want to do. It's much more comfortable. You can, when you're learning, it's much easier to get positions like that. So the chair thing is tiny thing, but absolutely an amazing thing that I think will make a difference.
Yeah. And actually, when I gave birth 7 years or 8 years ago, my husband had to sleep in the bath because there was no chairs. So he slept in the bathtub because there wasn't a chair. So he would have loved that now, you know, the fact there are now chairs in every room. He slept in the bathtub, and the midwife said, I'm so sorry, but
and he is a very long man. He is very tall.
He's 6'3", so you can imagine it was a bit of a but you're right, because that made such a difference for, you know, because if for him, he was absolutely exhausted, because he's, as you can imagine, you. Exactly, so he didn't get much sleep, obviously trying to sleep in a bathtub. So, you know, the fact there's now a small change of having those chairs, especially if birth partners need to have a nap or a rest, huge difference, absolutely huge difference, because then they can support their partners during labour. So small changes make all the difference, they really do.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, sorry, I backtracked from your question, but how the way the feedback gets passed on. So, like Emma has mentioned, we do hold quarterly meetings, and these quarterly meetings are sort of our main time to share our feedback themes from the last quarter. And this is where anyone and everyone is invited. And we really would love to get more service users, more women and birthing people, families, people in the community to come along to these calls, because that's where we can really share the feedback directly with the team. So we have the hospital teams on as well. The head of midwifery is always on. We have people from Surrey Heartlands, the commissioners. And so we can sort of have a back and forth conversation. And anyone who has recently had a baby in the last year, or even if it's longer, is welcome to come and join in that conversation and ask those questions and feedback directly. Like, we really want to make these sessions really interactive, and the opportunity for a service user to have that sort of route to midwives and to have that conversation. So we feedback our general themes in that, but behind the scenes, we are talking I would say daily with the hospital. There are lots of different teams that we're involved with, and we have separate meetings with them depending on different projects. We have like WhatsApp groups with some of the heads where we're literally able to pass on quick feedback. If it's something that we think is really important, it cannot wait for a theme to be brought into a, like a bigger meeting. It's like, right, what can we do about this? We've just had an Instagram message from someone, and we feel really fortunate that we can actually help these women that are messaging us, and we can help them and guide them to the right person who is able to help them in the scenarios that they may not have had all the information that they needed in order to sort of progress with what they need in their journey. Alongside that, we also join the hospital's monthly safety meetings, and we have an opportunity to present all our themes and feedback at those as well. And it's very, very welcomed at those meetings, isn't it, Laura? They just want to hear what women and birthing people are saying so that they can make things better. It's really evident to us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're asked daily for feedback on something. You know, if it's someone's creating something, they ask if there's feedback on, is there any feedback on this? Or do we have any women that have recently shared their experience of this pathway? So we're regularly asked for feedback as well, as in we may have some of that, or we may not have seen that in a theme or come through. And so then we might, you know, do some polls on social media. We might raise that as a potential question in when we're going out. So there, it works both ways as well, is that there might be things that they are working on as part of their, you know, guideline projects or transformational change that we can equally help. But absolutely, I mean, we, Ellery and I sort of say daily that just we're constantly asked if there is more feedback, and they take it really on board. I think that's the next sort of thing to take away from, is that they really take it on board. And whilst we know that, you know, the nature of change, I work in HR in another format, and the nature of change is that it can take a long time sometimes. But if you don't start to suggest change, then you can't make it ultimately. So actually, sometimes whilst they hear that feedback and they listen, most importantly, to that feedback, and they often might come back to us, you know, over and over on something, they might then start to think about how those changes can be made. And, you know, we know that there are, like with anything, there are parameters to that, from things from workforces to NICE guidelines to all sorts of things, you know, but we try to make sure that we can also feed back to those women. So if a woman has shared her entire experience, and like as you said, Emma, you could then see some of those things that happened. We really want to try and bring that back. So, you know, we do things like, you know, you said and we did. So we try to share things the hospital have done. You know, we talked about surveys earlier. We're working really closely with the what we call antenatal education team at the moment. Lovely midwife called Sophie, who is supporting that and social media and things. And antenatal education is that birth preparation, or, you know, labour preparation, postnatal prep, infant feeding support. And there are courses out there that are available. And some of the feedback we've had is, you can't get booked on, they're so busy. So we're working on ways of how can you get a tour at the hospital, and how can we put on more courses, and how can they do this? So we are working so closely aligned with something, just that tiny example of, you know, that big area of antenatal preparation. How can we deliver more for the women and birthing people of Surrey and Sussex?
Amazing. Sounds really good. Yeah, and we're all for education, obviously. So yes, the more the better. So absolutely. I don't know whether you can give, you've given some really good examples, but is there any sort of, you know, changes that you want to share, like, you know, things that you've seen change that you're, you know, would like to share, like whether we've talked about small changes, but any maybe big changes, or, you know, anything you want to share on that side of things?
I'm going to let Ellery go.
So I'm going to just talk about something that hasn't come into place yet, but it should be soon, that we're really hoping is going to help people in Burstow Ward. So lots of the feedback that we receive is about logistical things. So like, I didn't know when my meal times were. I didn't know how to take my baby to the toilet, or that a midwife could look after it. And is there a feeding team? When are visitors allowed? So things like that, that you just sort of want to know without that being an extra worry when you just had a baby. Mm-hmm. So we held a listening event, and it was all about postnatal feedback, and all of this information came out of it. And from that, we've been able to work really closely with the postnatal ward managers to create a one-sided information guide, like a quick guide to Burstow Ward, like you'd get when you went to a hotel or something, with all the information, but a bit less glamorous than that. So it's really simple. It's very top line information. There is a leaflet that exists which has more in depth, and there will be like a QR code on our one-sided one that will take you to that. But this one is just really top line to tell you when the meal times are, what partners can and can't do, visiting times and things like that. And this is hopefully going to be rolled out really soon so that every bed has a laminated sheet. This is what we as an MVP really want, everyone to have this sheet and to be told about this sheet, because, you know, sometimes things can get lost under your own notes and things, to be physically handed, or if you can't physically take it at the time, to be shown this is all the information you will need as a quick reference guide. Mm-hmm. And from talking to women and birthing people in the community, we really think that this is going to help a lot of the sort of little teething problems that people sometimes have when they come over first to the ward, because they may come in the middle of the night when there's not many staff around and they've gone from that direct one-on-one care to an area where they may feel a little bit lost. And just hopefully this will just give them a bit of a guide of where they are and what they can do with their baby, and when there may be a doctor coming, when quiet time is, which is another area we've tried to get feedback on, because there is in the hospital a certain period of the time that is called quiet time, which is supposed to be a protected time for families to rest with their babies, to establish feeding, the lights to be dimmed. And we just want to make sure that everyone is aware of that time, so that someone's not having a big phone call at that time loudly and ruining that sort of protected time. So we're hoping that this will be rolled out within the next month. And yeah, then we'll look forward to going round again and seeing if it has actually helped. And then, of course, doing the cyclical feedback of then letting people know what we've done and how that has helped, which is also very important within our role.
Fantastic.
And I think one of the things to... one of the things to add to that as well is that the kind of that we're already thinking now about that second stage of development with it. So one of the things that's really important to us and that we work with around those lesser heard voices sometimes is we work with a lady called Anne Harrod, hello Anne Harrod, if you're listening, who works with the Happy Baby community. She's a doula. She works with a lot of the women in hotels that are seeking asylum, migrant women that have come here, often very late in gestation sometimes as well. And obviously they are also going through the birth experience and regularly at East Surrey Hospital, and sometimes with the home birth teams. So what we also wanted to make sure of is that they are able to access that information as well. So we're looking now at the translation of that one page document as well as the larger leaflet. One of the other things is, for example, access to digital. So whilst QR codes are lovely for a large proportion of our women that go to the ward and have a phone and can digitally access things, not every woman does. So we're looking at, you know, can that be accessible on the iPads that are in the ward, for example? There are more iPads now, they're following feedback that, you know, there are there on the ward. So there was lots of different ways that we want to make sure it's accessible. The other thing to mention just around language is that we're now, there is language line is something that midwives can use on the ward. So if they have someone who does not speak English or is having challenges with communication for whatever reason, they can use language line for translation services. There's a new system that's literally launched like in the last 10 days or so that's also been things. So it's a live translator that literally within 3 minutes of them answering can be there, you know, interacting with midwives on the ward. So with those women that are there birthing and their partners as well. So we're really trying to make sure that accessibility is really considered as well for so many different reasons, you know, sight as well and neurodiversity. We're looking at based on feedback we've had, you know, that a white leaflet is not always the best colour leaflet to have, that, you know, a blue or a yellow leaflet is a better colour to have for people who have might have diverse needs. So there's lots of different ways that we can again help to support the trust with their work, to just to make that birth, postnatal, antenatal, perinatal experience better for more women and birthing people, and hopefully as well work to improve outcomes as well much earlier down the line, where those things like communication are so vital in understanding what's happening for them.
That's incredible. Amazing changes.
Sorry, Edwin, I interrupted when you were...
That's brilliant.
But yeah, there are a lot of trends. I mean, there are so many different things, and some of them obviously we can't talk about because they're early in kind of the starting. Yeah. But, you know, as an example, we're working, we've just started to work with the reduced fetal movements team on a project that they're very keen to be involved in and want to hear our maternity voices view on things that are happening. Ellery did a great piece of work this year with the gestational diabetes team. So there's a brand new pathway for women that are experiencing gestational diabetes or diagnosed with gestational diabetes. So there's a fab work there around a whole team of people, and you know, QR codes were the big things of identification for those women, that when they have their midwifery community appointments, that it is identified so that they can, you know, have a different experience. Multiple birth pathway, another one that we just started. There's a dedicated midwife, again from feedback around how women are birthing people and their families around multiples, whether it's twins or more multiples than twins, you know, triplets, quads, etc., their experiences as well. So the lovely Emily is the lead specialist midwife there. So there's so many. Every week we have another meeting with another team that we're really excited to work with. There's just so many. So yeah, it's really exciting. We feel very privileged to be part of it.
Lots of things. People have feedback for you and maybe haven't come, you know, crossed your path and walking the patch or at a baby group or anything. How can they get in touch? What, is there any specific areas you're looking for feedback in at the moment? How can people get involved with their voice?
Ellery, go
well,
on.
So you can get in touch with us lots of different ways that we've spoken about. So directly via email, if you want to start that way, that's perfectly fine as well. So we can share that email, but yep, I don't know what it is now, actually. dashmvp@gmail.com. I do know it.
Yeah, we'll put loads of links in the little like blurb that we put with it, so everyone knows where to go.
Brilliantly. And then through our socials, so we try to be really active on our socials and share lots of our surveys on there. So we are on Instagram at @sashmvp, so you can send us a message there. There's also a link to all our surveys in the bio in our Instagram page. And so what we're looking for at the moment is your general feedback. We want to hear anything and everything, but in particular we are we do have specific projects with gestational diabetes. You will see, because it will be the surveys that we have up. So gestational diabetes, feeding, early pregnancy unit is one that we are really wanting to kind of kickstart working closer with them and make sure that they are part of that maternity journey, because for so many, they are such a huge part of people's journey. And then out in the community, if you see us at a baby group, I'm normally there with my two-year-old, so probably just feeding her snacks while I try and talk to you. But no, we just, yeah, come up to us if you see us. Our faces are somewhat over socials, so you can recognise us, but we'll be wearing our lanyards, and we're out in the community at Cafe Milk, at sort of lots of different baby groups, and also walk the patch. So if you see us and we try and peer through your curtain, if you're not half asleep or feeding your baby, then please talk to us, because we just love to hear it all.
Definitely. And I think the only thing I'd add to that is that we get a lot, and predominantly our feedback is from women and birthing people who live in Surrey. And we have a huge patch called Sussex that is just over the border, past Hawley Crawley, that I'm sure many women both visit, live in, etc. And we would love to hear more from women and their families that live in the Sussex region. If you're not sure if it's our maternity voices or another, I mean, the clue is if you have given birth at East Surrey, or if you've been part of the home birth team for East Surrey, or perhaps you might have recently moved to that area and you're in the experiencing community midwifery care in Crawley or in Horsham or in any of the surrounding areas. We would love to hear from you. I mean, cheekily, because I look after Sussex, I'd quite like to hear more people, but we would love to, because it really helps to shape our service. We haven't talked about it today, and we won't go into lots of detail, but there's a huge project that's working with the NHS Trust called the Case for Change for Crawley. I can't talk too much about all the detail of it, but it's essentially looking at the provision of maternity services in and around Crawley, what there is today, what there could be, what the future looks like for all of the families of Crawley. And that's not just in maternity, but beyond as well. But specifically, there are lots of things we'd love to get feedback on around your experiences. We do get bits of, so we know that there are certain challenges if you live in Crawley and have to travel to East Surrey Hospital to maybe have your baby or attend appointments, but we would love to hear more. So if you live in any of Sussex, in that area that we talked about, Crawley, Horsham, down to sort of like the borders of kind of Billingshurst and, you know, Midwest Guildford. It's a huge area. It's a big, long kind of ice cream cone area. But if you do live there, we would love to hear from you. Please feel free to invite us to a group, ask us to attend an event. If you're a birth worker, get in touch. We would just love to hear from you and work with you more closely and really represent the voices of women in Sussex as well as we do for Surrey as well. So. Just a little plea for Sussex. Come and
find all those Sussex mums to be, please listen to this.
We say, you know, if you've had a baby in the last 12 months, feel free to get in touch. Even if you had a baby 2 years ago, we would still love to hear from you. We shape the feedback in a different way. We wouldn't ask you to fill in our survey necessarily because that's more recent, but we still want to hear your birth story. It still may be really relevant because we might still be working on one of those projects. It might be useful to get if you are living in a different area, you are from, you know, geographically somewhere different. If you had a different experience to the next women, which undoubtedly would have done, we still want to hear those experiences too. So get in touch.
Fantastic. Well, that's absolutely brilliant. Lots of information there, so thank you ever so much. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we finish today?
We've shared
lots and lots, but I guess if there's anything we've missed or you want to quickly add before we finished.
Like to add that sort of the reason why we're doing it, I think both myself and Laura are just so passionate in making sure that women and birthing people have the best experience that they can, because your maternity journey is something you never forget. You don't forget your midwives. You don't forget your birth. So we just want to make sure that, yeah, those small changes, those big changes are happening so that ultimately people can have the best experience.
Absolutely. It's what we're all doing, isn't it?
Yeah.
No matter how you work in birth, we all want that same outcome, don't we? We all want women to have a really positive experience. That's what we're waiting to do, isn't it? So
Definitely.
And I think we've covered lots of different areas today. You know, we talked briefly about infant feeding and, you know, there are so many different things. And I would as well sort of guide people that, you know, the website for SASH, there are a lot of resources on there as well. One of the things I did just want to touch on today, partly as we are seeing them tomorrow, but also it's a very personal thing for me in my experiences, is birth reflection. And there's a wonderful service called the Birth Reflection Service, which is a dedicated specialist women, two midwives that work there, and they're also part of as well some of the birth choices team. But birth reflection is exactly that. It is about reflecting on your birth experience, and it is open to you any time that you would like to. You don't have to do it at a set number of days postnatally. You could come back 2 years. I'm actually going to have another one from a baby that I had nearly 5 years ago in the coming weeks, to sort of look at how we can share that experience of what it looks like. It's incredibly powerful. They're incredibly patient. It's very cathartic. It can be very therapeutic. It is very emotional. But I think for me personally, and many of the women that we speak to and hear from, it's a real opportunity to fill in the blanks or the gaps in your own birth experience or antenatal experience, even to answer questions. Perhaps you might be going on to have another baby, or you might be even expecting a baby and you want to sort of like understand a bit more about things that happened. We cannot recommend it enough as a service. And they take bookings, and you know, you can get a booking in October still at the moment. So they try to see as many people as possible. So I would just like to sort of wave a little flag for them, because they are absolutely lovely, as are many of the midwives, of course. They are a really lovely team, and it's really easy to book in an appointment. There's a whole guidance sheet as well on what you can expect. It is at the hospital, I would caveat that. However, there are ways that you don't necessarily have to come to the hospital if that's something that causes you distress, or perhaps you had a traumatic experience. You can still reach out to the team and they can still speak with you, and there can be other ways that they can arrange for a birth reflection to take place. So don't think that if, and I have to be honest, like me, I didn't want to go near the hospital for a little while when I had my first baby. And so actually it wasn't the right time for me to go. So I went many years later, and still it was as fresh as it had been when he was four as it had been the day after he was born. So it really helps as well. So I just wanted to mention that service too.
No, that's very good. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. That's brilliant. So that will help a lot of listeners, I'm sure. So
yeah, we will put as much information as we can in the information below, wherever you're listening to this, so you can find the links on how to get in touch, where to find out more, and all of that good stuff. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you both very much.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us. It's been lovely. It's really nice to talk to you.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the East Surrey Bump to Baby podcast today. If you have any topics you'd like us to cover in the upcoming episodes, please do get in touch. You can find me, Becca, at Be Your Own Birth on www.beyourownbirth.co.uk, and you can also find me on Facebook and Instagram.
And you can find me, Emma, at Calm Mama Collective, www.calmmamacollective.co.uk, and on Instagram I am calmmama_hypnobirthing. We'll see you next time.